You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You give me the Italian urban cheese, foot long, chicken teriyaki, a little sweet onion, toast that mother, lettuce, onion, easy pickle, okay, and then some Parmesan and oregano with a bag of baked chips and some sweet tea, and I'm good to go.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Matt Verderam of FanSided joins us now here on Almost Entirely Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam. Check out all of his work up on FanSided. Check out the Stack in the Box podcast, the Arrowhead Addict podcast. If you follow him on Twitter, everything else will come from there. Matt, this is something that actually I think I've had slip under my radar the last few times we've talked, but Rudy mentioned it right before the segment. Do you have a statement? Would you like to make a statement about the fact that Subway's bread has been ruled that it cannot be called bread? It is more technically cake because of how much sugar is in Subway's delicious, delicious sweet bread.
I mean, I'm fine with it. It still tastes good. Call it cake, call it bread, whatever. Going down the hatch.
I think that's fair. Now, I do think that maybe kind of the whole, like, eat here and lose a bunch of weight thing is probably, maybe there's a little bit of false advertising there, but also I'm literally saying that out loud and then realize we're kind of remembering kind of what happened with Jared, and now I'm kind of steering away from that and just steering to anything else, Matt. How are you? No, that's probably going to be bad also. Go ahead and answer that one, though.
I'm fine. I've slept like 3 hours in 2 days here watching nonstop election coverage that truly may kill us all.
I was just happy to see you tweeted about just having like a gallon of rum and, you know, how quickly that was disappearing. I was just glad to find out that you're a rum guy because I feel like rum is, at least in my experience, an underrated and under-respected hard liquor.
I love it. And I'm not a big drinker. I was in college, and college I basically drank the ocean. But since then, I've since been able to dry myself out. I do not drink very much, which is probably why drinking last night more than I should have wasn't a great idea. But it was balanced out by the fact that I was up till 3:30 a.m. watching everything. So. I'm glad it was with me to help me get through the election. I can't double dip tonight, or I think I'll be nauseous. But rum. Listen, spiced rum, white rum. Big fan of the whole genre. Throw a little lime juice in there, you're good to go.
Is there a drink from college that you just like will not even think about? Like you're upset at me for asking that question because you have some terrible memory being triggered right now.
So, debating if I should answer this question. So I won't touch Cuervo.
Yeah.
Jose and I had a bout years back, and he won. And all I'll say is in our dorm room, there was a hallway that was carpeted, and down the middle of it was just line. And I remember one night, I was like, I'm not that bad. I'll walk down the line, and I took about three steps land right in the wall. So I don't party with Jose anymore. We've gone our separate ways.
That's part of adulthood, right? Is figuring out who you do and don't really want to spend your time with. And
learn your limits in life.
Yeah, and Jose was unkind to you. Which feels right. Well, listen, one of the things we started tonight's show with is obviously, you know, there's a lot going on right now in terms of making sure we count all the votes, not declaring winners too early. I've heard that some people have tweeted about those things. I'm pretty sure that's been about the NFL MVP race and that we pretty much gave it to Russell Wilson in like week four. I really haven't seen anything else to that extent. You said you were watching it election coverage until 3:30 last night, and you stayed around for an extra hour than I did, which I feel bad for you for, but also, you know, that we've all have our sicknesses. But we ended up like having a serious conversation about MVP race stuff based off that joke like an hour and 8 minutes ago. And it kind of got to the point of like, oh, remembering Patrick Mahomes is literally going to run laps around the rest of these candidates, if you will. And Russell Wilson's probably going to win it anyway because he hasn't won one yet, right?
Yeah, Look, right now you definitely say Wilson's a favorite. So he's thrown 26 touchdown passes. He's played one less game than Mahomes because they had the bye week already. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at this going, okay, 26 touchdowns. They did have thrown six picks. Mahomes only has one. But if Wilson throws for 50-some-odd touchdowns, and he's on a really good team, he's going to be the MVP of the league. I just don't see how he's not. And it shouldn't matter. And obviously, I don't have an MVP vote, so I don't feel bad saying this. Like, writers like myself are largely dopes, and we love to have these little narratives that go along with these things.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, well, you know, it could be close. It could be a tie. But let's go with the guy that has never gotten an MVP vote. Now, that's not to say that right now Wilson doesn't deserve it. I think he does deserve it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should win right now. Mahomes clearly is the second guy on the list. I don't think there's a close third. If you want to argue with Rodgers or Brady, fine, but I don't think that person's necessarily close to Mahomes. Mahomes is going to have a stretch, maybe start it with the Jets, where he has four or five games where he just goes ballistic and throws, you know, averages over 300 yards a game, averages four touchdowns and passes a game. If he does that, then he's right there. But right now, I think it's Wilson 1, Mahomes 2.
And you're totally right about the narratives and everything. It's one of the reasons that Brady has such high odds, because if he was having this exact season in New England, even the narrative of him just like getting back on the horse, you know, that would be interesting. But the fact that he's doing it in Tampa makes it 20 times more intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Like it's a whole new situation for him. And Rodgers has a little bit of that too. Now, obviously, he's not in this situation, but, mm-hmm. you know, people talked about, well, you know, nobody gave him any help this offseason, and now it's like he's carrying this team. The reality is, first of all, in the NFL, anytime somebody talks about, well, you know, so-and-so an MVP candidate and they're not a quarterback, take that person's credentials away. No, they're not. So,
but Derrick Henry!
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like, you're starting immediately from, like, who are the top 10 quarterbacks in the league? Okay, those are your 10 MVP candidates. And then you just figure it out from there. But, no, Brady absolutely is in the mix. And, you know, look, the one thing Mahomes has going for him, the Chiefs are on Sunday Night Football against the Raiders later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're on Sunday Night Football against Denver at home later in the year. They play the Saints and the Buccaneers, which are not primetime games necessarily, but they're standalone games on CBS in the late window. They're national television. So, and they're huge games, especially against Tampa. If Mahomes goes out and just blows the competition away in those games, that's going to help him quite a bit because mm-hmm. everybody sees those games. They don't see when he's blowing out the Jets. They see the highlight. But if he goes to Tampa and he has one of those Mahomesian games like he did against the Ravens, then you start encroaching on Wilson's lead.
There's a handful of things that are interesting around the league right now, obviously, because the NFL is never not interesting. But the league, as of this moment of us talking right now, is going to try to play Packers-Niners tomorrow, and the 49ers have, like, seven healthy players. Like, I think they legitimately have two active receivers right now, and one of them is questionable. What is the logic here? I mean, are they banking on some of this being contact tracing stuff and more of these guys can play? Do they not care at this point that it's going to be Nick Mullins throwing the ball to, Trent Taylor, I think? That sounds like a receiver.
Yeah, they don't care. I'd like to throw my hat in the ring. I'll play receiver. I'll play for two snaps and I'll get hit once and be in infirmary, but I'm willing to do it.
I think if I start on the sideline and then just run straight down, I mean, I won't catch it and I'm far too slow to get any separation, but if I were to catch it, I could step out of bounds probably.
I'll let you give it a shot.
Yeah. I'm not going over the middle though. I refuse.
I don't understand why the NFL is so intent on forcing this game down everybody's throat. It's a Thursday night game. Why don't you just move it to Monday?
Yep.
Who cares?
Yep.
I mean, is Fox really going to have that much of a conniption that they can't have this game on a Thursday? First of all, the game's terrible. The Packers are going to kill the Niners because the Niners are missing half the team. So it doesn't matter anyway. And look, the one thing that is very clear, the NFL is going to do absolutely everything it can not to have a Week 8 game. Mm. And I know I talked a couple weeks ago, I wrote this over on FanSide in my Stack the Box column, and I talked to about five league sources about this and said, hey, look, why haven't they just built it in? And the answers range anywhere from, Well, they haven't actually had to yet, too. Well, the NFL loves its optics, and they don't want to look like they have to adjust. I kind of tend to think it's somewhere in the middle, and there's a mismatch of all that stuff. But I just don't understand why you don't just push this game. I kind of get it if it was a Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
It's Thursday night. Like, just move it, but they're not good. They're going to play the game.
Well, let's dig into the Week 18 thing a little bit, because, I mean, what I've always been confused by is why not just plan for that whenever the schedule was getting released? Why not build in a second bye week, at least give yourself some wiggle room? And, I mean, what you mentioned there, like the NFL not looking like it, not wanting to look like it has to make a change, I mean, their whole posture since the draft has been, we're going to do our thing, and COVID can work around us. And to be fair, like, it's at least kind of worked.
It has. Like, people love to complain about everything because it's 2020, and that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But football's done a great job with this. You can kill the NFL all you want for every other thing in the world. The NFL has done a really good job with the way the season's gone.
Mm-hmm.
They are not in bubbles. They have not missed games. They had to move a few around. Maybe at some point they won't have to miss the game. But all things considered, I mean, geez, I'll tell you what. It's a hell of a lot better than baseball.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Cardinals are basically playing 84 doubleheaders every other night trying to get these games in. I do think it's possible at some point they're going to have to move a game or they're going to have to swap. But they're, I mean, we're week nine. We're halfway through the season. They are clearly going to do everything they can not to have to go down that road. They don't want to interrupt the playoff schedule. They don't want to have to push things back. We'll see if they can get there. But it's going to be interesting. And, of course, now we're also getting to the point a lot of teams have had their bye weeks, so it's going to be very hard to just move games around schedule-wise. But we'll see. We'll see how things go. But it's going to be interesting. My guess, too, is if teams are involved, like if it's a game, I'm just picking two teams out of a hat. Like if it's like the Jets and the Broncos or something, which has already happened. But like if that happens, the game means nothing. I can see the NFL just saying, look, we're canceling the game. You're not playing it. It means absolutely nothing. Like that's just the way it is. You play 15 games this year. If it means something, that's harder. My biggest question with the NFL is, like, we saw Stafford has to go on the COVID-19 list today for the Lions. That he may be able to play Sunday, we'll see. What if that happens in a playoff game?
Yeah.
Like, what happens if that happens to a big-time player, a quarterback specifically? What are they going to do? Are they going to play that game? I mean, that team season's over. Because there's no team that's going to a playoff game when they're backup quarterback. So, that is one thing I am fascinated by with the NFL. How do they handle that if it happens? Hopefully it does.
I mean, you mentioned baseball and its issues. Like, the closest we've gotten to that was Justin Turner, who literally got pulled for the Dodgers. You know, he got pulled mid-game in game six, and baseball caught a huge break with the Dodgers winning that game.
Yeah.
Because that entire clubhouse is now close contact, and he can't play in Game 7. There's no way that game gets played the next day. Or if you say, all right, well, how many guys do you have in that bullpen that weren't anywhere near Justin Turner? Do you make them play Game 7 of the World Series? I have no idea how that gets handled. My hunch is that leagues don't know yet either.
Well, you know, and again, this goes back to what I said earlier about the way the NFL handled it, and I give them a lot of credit. So look at baseball. Like, everybody loves to just get all over Roger Goodell, and somewhat deservedly so at times. I think he gets somewhat of a bad rap, but he's deserved criticism for sure, depending on what topic is. My point is, though, like, look at the way the NFL has handled itself in general, and especially with the season amidst the pandemic. Meanwhile, you've got baseball's commissioner who wants now to explore the idea of playing the World Series at a neutral site every year. Like, why? Who the hell knows? But let's just play it in Miami every year.
Right.
Let's have no fans at the game. Because that sounds exciting. And for people who say, well, you know, the Super Bowl does it. Yeah, the difference is the Super Bowl is the biggest event in the country every year. They sell it out. They could move the Super Bowl to North Dakota.
Yes.
And they sell the games out. Like, it wouldn't matter. It would make sense. For baseball, like, it's so much more of a regional thing. So I think football's done a good job. Not, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole. Football's done a good job. I do think it's going to continue to be an issue, obviously, especially if the country continues to ramp up. We had 104,000 cases of COVID in the country today. It's an all-time high for the U.S., so things not looking great on that front. And that's going to matter. Like, I know people don't want to hear that, and they scream about politics, but guess what? Like, if you're the person who doesn't want to wear a mask to great clips, well, and then you complain if your football team has four guys with COVID, well, like, you're part of the problem. So yeah. I think, you know, that's something that hopefully doesn't affect the NFL, but obviously the odds go up every time there's a spike in the country.
The one other thing within that whole section of conversation, something that I genuinely don't fully understand, why, if they ended up having to do whatever they'd have to do, what does expanding the playoffs help? What problem would that solve, as that's gotten kicked around a little
right.
bit?
So I don't even know if people have really heard a lot about this. So what you're alluding to is what Chris Morrison reported, which is that if they had to expand the season to an 18th week, if they had to cancel a game, they had to really move the schedule around, that they might go to where each conference has eight teams in the playoffs, which, by the way, fun fact, that happened once before in the NFL, 1982.
Oh, interesting.
They went to eight teams per conference. They didn't even call it the playoffs that year. They called it the Super Bowl tournament. and it was because it was a strike-shortened year, nine games, and they felt it wasn't fair. Anyway, there is precedent. It's happened. The reason they talked about that they would do it is because, essentially, if they had to cancel a game, they don't want a team to not get in because they missed by half a game. So they're basically hedging their bets that would help to kind of alleviate that problem if you had eight teams in. Now, I personally, I think that's kind of a short-sighted disaster because if that were to happen, and if you're the Steelers and the Chiefs who are battling it out to be the one seed, to get the only bye in the conference, well, if you do that, who the hell cares if you're the one or the two seed?
Right.
Especially in a year where there's no fans. I mean, you think Mahomes is worried about going and playing in front of 7,000 people in Pittsburgh?
No.
He doesn't care. So you want that bye. You want that break. You want that day off, that week off. So that sort of thing, if they do that, then I think there's just a lot less urgency. There's a lot less drama at the end of the year. You don't really care what your seed is. Obviously, look, you'd rather be the higher seed, but it's not nearly as important.
Yeah. It would be so bizarre to take that. I guess I understand the idea of expanding to kind of like give yourself a margin for error, where if you have a team that's out by half a game, well, now they're in, and there's a small chance that you have two teams that have a gripe but only one of them gets in. But that's, you know, that's college football literally every year for all time, and we do that with the 68th team in college basketball every year. So I guess I understand that, but you're right. I mean, it would take away a lot of the drama of the battle for that one seed. Totally switching back to what we saw from the Chiefs this weekend, the Jets were every bit as bad as we thought they were, and that, to me, is joyous.
Not even a football team. Not even a football team. The Jets are everyone who I'm sure hears me speak knows I'm from New York, and everybody I have back home, I went to college with, they're either Jets, Giants, or Bills fan. A lot of Jets and Giants fans, and they're all just ready to give up football. Like, if there was a rehab facility for those people to quit the Jets or the Giants, and they'd go do it, and I don't blame them. The Jets are awful. And I knew the Chiefs, barring some kind of cataclysmic disaster, that they were going to beat the Jets and beat them up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that really just stood out to me in that game, though, was just the mind-numbing decisions by Gase at certain points in the third quarter. Like, there was one play in particular. The Chiefs got the ball to come out of the half. They didn't score. So it's 21-9. Jets got the ball. They're around their own 30. It's 4th and 6. Okay, they're punting the ball. Robinson, DeMarcus Robinson jumps in the neutral zone. It could have been 4th and 1.
Yeah.
And he tacks on the yardage to the kick.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? Like, do you not understand, like, the odds that you're going to lose? They're only chance is to try to steal possessions in this game. Your only shot. And he was just like, nah, it's all right. We'll make Mahomes go 5 yards further. We think that ought to stop him. Like, it's just, and then they just immediately went down the field and scored. Like, all right, the game's over. Like, I just don't get it. It was bizarre. Like, the Chiefs were oddly more aggressive than the Jets were, like a fake punt.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I kept thinking throughout the game, I'm like, all right, the Jets are going to fake a punt at some point. They're going to, like, onside kick. Like, they've got to do something. Nope. Like, just here it is. See if you can beat this heads up. It was just extraordinarily odd coaching. And I might add quickly, Greg Williams, bold strategy to dare the Chiefs to throw the ball. I mean, that was just – every time they line up, I'm like, my God. Like, Williams is daring him to just go down the field.
Yes.
This is unbelievable. And sure enough, 416 yards, 5 touchdowns.
The other thing with Gase is there was all of that sort of weird conservatism from him, and then also Sam Darnold clearly re-injured his shoulder. And I mean, I know Adam Gase has to know that he's just like playing with house money is not even quite true. He is so out of money that losing more doesn't really matter. But
right.
But he put Sam Darnold back out there in a game that he wasn't really pushing to win. He couldn't bother to just pack it in with Joe Flacco, although he wouldn't let him go for it on whatever it was, 4th and 5 later in the game. It's just baffling to me. How much – what are the Jets waiting for? I don't even remember who it was. Someone in the organization said Adam Gase is part of the solution. That can't possibly continue, right? Was the GM? Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's Joe Douglas. Look, you know what? Adam Gase is the equivalent of the guy who went to the casino – got way too liquored up, bet his mortgage, lost, and then looked in his wallet and was like, $17? I better hold on to it, just in case. At that point, man, just go find 40-to-1 odds and let her rip.
Yeah.
Like, why not? You know, you already lost a house, so I don't get it. It was so bizarre to me. Look, they're going to fire him. I mean, that's... I don't care what Joe Douglas says. He's gone. Okay, and Joe Douglas might be gone with him, but Gase is certainly gone. I don't even think there's a question in the world about that. New Yorkers, they'll burn that stadium to the ground if Gase isn't gone at the end of the season. So, it's just, you know, normally, look, you see bad teams. They're bad teams. It's, you know, happens all the time in the NFL. But what is shocking is just the total, like, apparent lack of even caring. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to get killed again. Screw it. 3rd and 6, let's just run a draw and see what happens. Yeah. It's just – and you know what, though? I will say quickly, the Chiefs, you give them credit for one thing. Look, they don't get credit for winning. Yeah, they should have. The Jets are awful.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs didn't let down. They pounded the Jets. Then that's exactly what you're supposed to do. It wasn't one of these games where they, you know, turned it over 3 times. They were sloppy. They went out. They did exactly what they're supposed to do, and they beat them by 26 points.
Yeah, and it was also fun. Like, it was, we've seen the Chiefs be dominant in games in different ways. I just enjoyed it. I didn't doubt for a second that it was going to be a part of their arsenal still, but it was just nice to see the 400 yards, 500. It was just fun. One thing we were talking about on the show earlier, and I talked to you a couple of Saturdays ago, and you mentioned that the Steelers were just talking about the AFC and everything. I think it was ahead of Steelers-Titans. Obviously, they're undefeated at this point, and I still can't shake a little bit of, I don't think they're fraudulent or anything like that. I'm not taking huge hacks like that. But I kind of just keep waiting for Roethlisberger to show his age a little bit, or for something to kind of to find a little bit of something in the armor. Like, I don't know why I'm hesitant on the Steelers, but I feel like you are certainly less so than I am. And if you're not fully buying it, which you might be, tell me what I need to know about Pittsburgh and what you think the battle for the top of the AFC looks like with them.
I think Pittsburgh's really, really good, and I think they're going to go 14-2 because they just don't play anybody.
Yeah.
No, absolutely no. I mean, you look at the schedule; they just do not. I mean, their hardest games are Baltimore again. They are at Buffalo on a Sunday night late December. They're home to the Colts, and they're at Cleveland Week 17. Maybe the Browns need the game; they can find a way. But
they still have both Bengals games. The Bengals just beat the Titans. Maybe I don't know. Maybe.
No, actually, that's a good point. I actually wrote about the Bengals on Sunday that I think they're going to be the biggest spoiler in the AFC because they're close in every game.
Yeah, that's
they're
true.
They're going to win it. You know, so I like that. Look, the Steelers are really good. The one thing with the Steelers, two things with the Steelers that give me a red flag with them. One is they are very good defensively. They also blitz a ton. They blitz as much as any team in football, right, along with Baltimore and Tampa Bay. We all know if they play Kansas City and they blitz, how that ends. Okay, and here's another stat. They rank dead last defensively in yards per completion. So if you complete the ball against them, it's for over 13 yards a play on average. It's a lot of yards. You can move quickly. The Chiefs have actually averaged giving up less points per game than Pittsburgh has, which is, I know, surprising. But
it is,
true.
Yeah. The yardage thing is interesting too. It's like if you can get the ball over the blitz, basically, you're gonna get some yardage, which the Chiefs have been excellent at.
They're a lot like the old Rex Ryan Jets, where if they get to you, they'll turn you over, they'll cause problems. But if you can block them or get the ball out quick, you can hit the lottery. So that's one. The other thing with Roethlisberger, look, Roethlisberger is not being good this year. And I've watched every Steelers game. Roethlisberger is the AFC's version of Drew Brees. Everything is 3 yards and a cloud of dust. It's out of his hands very quickly. He does not have the arm strength anymore to drive the ball down the field. So if you're Kansas City, you see them later in the year, I would be shocked if Spagnuolo doesn't just flood the zones underneath and basically put his corners on an island outside to go ahead and beat us.
Yeah.
Throw the ball. I do think Pittsburgh's going to be a real threat for the one seed. I also think it's in the same breath that regardless of the venue, if Kansas City's healthy and sees them and plays a good game, the Chiefs are the better team. The Chiefs will beat them if they play a good game. They're more of all rounded. The Chiefs are just much better offensively. And while Pittsburgh is better defensively, the gap is not anywhere near the gap in the two offenses.
That makes sense. Because, I mean, obviously the Steelers' offense has been enough to get it done, but I really like the Saints comparison. That makes sense. What about the Titans, what we've seen from them with that surprise? What about the rest of the AFC? Where are you on the Ravens right now? Or are you just would you feel confident at this point in calling the AFC a two-horse race, or should we be including, you know, the Ravens despite losing to the Steelers and all that?
I'll be blunt. If the Chiefs play their best, it's a one-horse race. There's nobody beating them if they play their best game. If they even play an A-minus game, there's no one beating them. Yeah. They're too talented. They have a gear that nobody else can get to. That being said, I do think Pittsburgh's the biggest threat. I don't think Tennessee is a threat to the Chiefs unless the Chiefs play a poor game. And the only reason I say that, Tennessee's defense has been awful.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely atrocious on third down. They give up 61% of third downs, which is by a mile, the worst in the NFL. They can't get off the field. And against Kansas City, I just think that's a recipe to get absolutely blown out of the building. Baltimore's interesting because Baltimore's just so different. I mean, obviously, they play a lot differently. But I do think we're getting to a point, not to be hot take guy, but can Lamar Jackson beat a good team?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that's completely unfair at this juncture to start asking that question. Mm-hmm. He's played Kansas City 3 times. He's lost all 3 times. In the game this year in Baltimore, the Chiefs just, I mean, absolutely took them apart. And he didn't even throw for 100 yards. The Steelers game, if you watch the game on Sunday, he was the reason they lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank. I mean, the Ravens dominated that game. They ran for 260 yards. They lost because he had 3 red zone turnovers. I mean, and a pick 6. You're just never going to win like that. I think the Ravens are the third best team in the conference. I think Tennessee's 4th. And after that, I think it's a chasm. And then you get to, like, Buffalo and Indianapolis. But I don't think Baltimore can beat the Chiefs if the Chiefs play well. They just don't match up with them. They need the blitz to win. Jackson can't throw to the outside. Spagnuolo has done a very good job against them. Anything's possible. Could the Chiefs play a bad game and lose? Yeah. But if Kansas City plays really well, I think they'll be back in the Super Bowl.
I'll let you go on that, man. That makes me feel good. Mix in some waters, grab some Subway, go to bed early tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Matt Verderay, I'm a fan sighted. Check out the Arrowhead Addict podcast. It's the Chiefs podcast they do with FanSided that Verderay does. Great stuff there. Great stuff in the Stack in the Box podcast and column. Everything he does up on FanSided, you can get to all of it by following him on Twitter at Matt Verderay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We might talk about that. We might talk about something else. We got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff in the NFL. A lot of stuff outside of the NFL. Ooh, I don't know. We'll talk about something. We might go back to find a grave, whatever. geocities.gov. I don't know. Probably should have just ended whenever I was promoting. Don't nod at me, Rudy. I know. Here's what happened is sometimes on Time Czars, the podcast I do with Seth Kaiser, Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Sometimes we make fun of usually Seth going up with the ball and not having a plan. You know, it happens in basketball all the time. You go up with the ball and you either need to have an outlet.
Don't
for
jump
it
to pass.
Well, even I'll tell you what, for Seth, if he would just jump and pass, I would take that because.
But don't jump to pass, because then when you jump and all of a sudden that pass isn't there, you're just like, what do I do?
Totally fair. The thing with Time Czars is it's just three dudes on a court all on the same team by themselves. And sometimes Seth will go up with the ball and then realize he did not get enough air to dunk it, and he can't lay it up at that point, and he's looking to try to figure out where we are, if he can pass it to anybody, and then he just lands and it's a travel. Sometimes Seth gets stuck in the air with the ball and doesn't have a plan where to go with it. Sometimes for me, I'm like, I've got a clear path to the basket. I can just lay it in and move on to the next segment. And I decide, like, I'm going to actually backpedal back to the three-point line. I'm going to try to drain a shot from the logo, basically. And then I pick up the ball, and then I don't actually take the shot. And then this happens, when I'm just sort of standing there at half court by myself. Now defense is coming in, and you, Rudy, are doubting me. And I'm just sort of staring at the end of the segment, realizing that I don't have the shot. I haven't taken the shot. I'm not going to make it whenever I try. And I should have just taken the layup for two. That's what this all was.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, fair.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Saw a tweet during the break from... Control CTRL. Apparently it's a meal replacement drink. I don't care. That's not what I'm here for. Not a sponsor. But they tweeted, you can choose three. So we're going to play the you can choose three game. It is cereals. I'm going to give you nine cereals from this 3x3 grid. Rudy, the at is at drink CTRL. If you'd like to pull it up for yourself, I should have given you that information during the break. I figured I would just read it and it'd be okay. But I would also want to see it if I was you. Here are the nine cereals, and this is not, maybe this ends up becoming a cereal power ranking. We're going to do power rankings, by the way, in 20 minutes with Tucker Franklin, former intern, now deputy editor and little Chiefs boy at Arrowhead Report, and the deity of power rankings, emperor of power rankings, I think, for this show. We'll do power rankings with him in a little bit. Here are the nine cereals on the pick three: Cookie Crisp, Fruity Pebbles, Apple Jacks, Cap'n Crunch, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, Special K Red Berries, Cocoa Puffs, Life. You pick three, six of them drop away forever. I'm going to say some things here, Rudy, and then I'm gonna basically go first round of cuts, and then you tell me if you have anything against any of this.
I got two that I know I'm like in for. It's figuring out the third.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, stop me if you disagree with any of these things. I've got a couple bold takes in my first round of cuts here. Cookie Crisps are a great idea and a bad cereal.
Yeah, I might not go bad, but it's not great. Like it's more average, I guess, for me. It's not on that list.
It is not that sweet. It is not that chocolatey. It is not that cookie-y. It's overrated, not very good.
And definitely over it, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. As a great idea, bad execution. Fruity Pebbles, I actually like. I like Fruity Pebbles. Very good. I used to. I don't know how they hold up in milk, really. I feel like they're going to get a little soggy. I'm not a huge fruity cereal guy, though, so I'm not going with Fruity Pebbles. Have I gotten so far so good, Rudy?
Yeah, I think I got my three. I just enjoy in general like a fruity flavors. So like typically, you know. Yeah. I will lean towards that. And Fruity Pebbles, I had them last year, very good. But there's three on here that I just, the flavors were too pure, you know, to get around.
Okay, I'm not sure. You let me know whenever, we're going to just go one by one. You let me know whenever we get to one that you're taking. Apple Jacks.
Love Apple Jacks, man.
Overrated garbage.
Oh my goodness,
overrated.
No.
They're overrated.
I love Apple Jacks.
I love,
man,
apple things. I love cinnamon things. Apple Jacks should be excellent. They taste like half-flavored cardboard, Apple Jacks are not a good cereal, even though they should be a good cereal.
I love Apple Jacks.
Apple Jacks and Cookie Crisp, they hold a very similar place in my psyche, which is a cereal that I wish I liked, but isn't good enough to earn my love.
You're eating bad Apple Jacks.
That's one of yours, though?
I love Apple Jacks.
Okay, so I'm gonna write
it
these
would be,
down.
It would be my third of the three.
Okay. Cap'n Crunch.
I love Apple Jacks, but it is low enough to where like I could easily like switch out with like Fruity Pebbles or Cap'n Crunch and be happy. But I love Apple Jacks.
So you're also not going with Cap'n Crunch?
Yeah, not Cap'n Crunch. Cap'n Crunch is great.
It's a good cereal.
Now is I assume are there where we cannot go with any variations because like,
I think we have to have that conversation
because I like if it was like Boo Berry Cap'n Crunch. I think Boo Berry was one of their flavors.
Boo Berry is a Count Chocula family of cereals. Oops All Berries?
Oops All Berries. Yeah, well, basically, you know, the Captain Crunch had the berries.
Or Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries.
Yes.
Which one?
Crunch Berries. That's the one.
Okay.
Crunch Berries.
Yes. I know my cereal.
Yes. Crunch Berries.
I think that's also the right call. I think Captain Crunch plain I'm skipping over also. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
So good.
It's very good.
I've talked about it on here. I had a strawberry cinnamon toast crunch once, which I didn't even know existed.
Oh, I want to try it so bad.
And it was heaven.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch,
so
I think
good.
There's a real argument that it's the number one cereal. Because here's the thing. It's very sweet, where like you shouldn't eat a bleep ton of it probably. You're going to eventually start getting the, you know, AM jitters. But man, the texture is great. It really is crunch. The cinnamon, the fact that you can feel the cinnamon sugar coating on each piece. If Cinnamon Toast Crunch just was those, this is the Cookie Crisp issue, really. If it was just a square of whatever grain you make Cinnamon Toast Crunch out of, and the flavor was like in it, it would not nearly occupy that place in my heart. Is that your one or two?
One, yeah. It's my one.
I think
I'm such a big Cinnamon Toast Crunch fan.
It is probably my one.
I'm with you though. Like you can't. It's not a cereal you want to overdo, and maybe that is like
I'm about
a
to
flaw.
Give. I'm about to give you and a lot of people listening some really good advice in a minute.
Yeah, but
on that front.
But it is such a good cereal.
Great cereal. Lucky Charms.
I like Lucky Charms.
Overrated again.
But it's just like you know. It's just a meh, right? Like it's
meh.
Just like
it's
like,
very meh.
Like you can get the exact same thing from Lucky Charms from numerous other cereals. They were just better marketed.
Yes,
right?
100%.
Like the better brand, the bigger brand.
You ever just
them.
Eat one of the cereal pieces and not one of the Marbits?
And see, that's
it
the thing.
Tastes
nobody,
like nothing.
And that's
nothing.
The thing. Nobody just eats like the one piece of cereal, right? Like I remember grabbing like just a marshmallow.
Yes, absolutely. Because marshmallows
like, just,
are fun and
yeah,
delicious,
and they're very sugary. But
the actual cereal,
yeah, like it's just fine. You know, it's just meh.
I don't think I've had the Special K with red berries. I've heard tale of it. I don't know if I've ever actually had it, or if I had, it didn't. You know, I think I have. It didn't really make a huge impact for me.
Yeah, I don't think I have. My guess is it's a solid cereal, right? Like you'll eat it. You go to your grandparents' house, they got it. You eat it. You're content. Like, but it's my guess is it's nothing.
I think
super
it's
special.
Supposed to be kind of an adult cereal.
Yeah,
a little bit.
It was definitely marketed to. I remember as kids to adults, like it'll lower your cholesterol, like that kind of thing.
Next up, Cocoa Puffs.
Love some Cocoa Puffs.
They're very good cereal. It's just very good.
It's my two. Yeah.
I think it's my three, which means obviously I've left one on the board here. We're going to get to number nine. I'm going to talk about Life in a second. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Good Cereal.
I remember Life. Life was a good cereal.
Life is hard enough as it is. First on Cocoa Puffs. They will turn your milk a little chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
You're cuckoo for them.
They're good. And it's a good chocolatey flavor.
It's a good chocolatey flavor. Rich chocolatey
it's
flavor.
It's not overdoing it. Like, it's a good mix.
Renee bought a three-pack of the Halloween cereals a little while ago, and the Count Chocula is very, very good. If I get the Count Chocula marshmallows, though, and put them in Cocoa Puffs, that's a better cereal. The little ghosties in the in the Count Chocula, not as powerful a texture. Cocoa Puffs are crunchy, man.
Yeah.
You get a good mouthful of those, a little bit of milk in there. That texturally is doing a lot of great work. I also love Cocoa Pebbles. I'm a big chocolate cereal guy. Love a chocolate cereal. I think Cocoa Puffs might be the number one chocolate cereal, though. What would another contender be? Cocoa Pebbles are very, very, very good.
I think Cocoa Puffs is definitely one. I can't really honestly think
I
of
think
like
I probably...
like Cocoa Pebbles are really the only other like chocolatey cereal that I remember eating
you'll,
on a regular
you'll
basis.
Get Cocoa Krispies are a step down. You'll get cocoa variants of stuff like chocolate Lucky Charms or whatever. Not the same thing.
No.
Frosted Mini Wheats chocolates. Hold on.
I remember those, but I don't think I ever tried them.
I didn't.
I just remember them existing.
I've seen the chocolate Frosted Flakes. Have not tried them. The chocolate Chex, not bad. It's okay. But yeah, no, I think Cocoa Puffs are probably the, for a while, those would have been my 1-1. Now, Life is number 9 on here. And I'm not 100% sure if I've even actually had the plain Life cereal. Few things. One, texture's excellent. It's a weird, I don't even know how to describe it, where it's square, but it's got it's almost like a flat hollow mini wheat. That's how I'm gonna or Chex. It's more like a slightly larger, slightly more flat Chex, but I think it's wheat instead of a corn or any other of the Chex cereal makeups there. If you as an adult eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch and you're like, wow, this is great, but I do feel like I just had dessert for breakfast, and also if you have Cinnamon Toast Crunch for dessert, that's fine. That's
no judge.
Totally valid. I have had the Count Chocula that I have as a dessert thing many times. The Cinnamon Life is the exact evolution of Cinnamon Toast Crunch that I was hoping to find in my life. In fact, I'm right now bummed that I don't have any at home to go back to. And I've got some decent cereals. I think there's a little bit of peanut butter Captain Crunch left, which is good.
Forgot about peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
We also didn't even talk about Reese's Puffs and kind of the chocolate cereal thing.
Okay,
peanut butter is a...
Reese's Puffs.
Not on the board here,
they
so I get it.
They should have been on that board. They would have been a top three. I would have kicked Apple Jacks to the curb so fast for some Reese's Puffs.
Yeah, Reese's Puffs are great. But the Cinnamon Life, I think right now, if you're like, hey, you, Josh, can only eat one cereal for... It's a slightly different question. But if like you could only eat one cereal for the rest of your life, I think at this point I might say Cinnamon Life, or I think I'd probably really lean into it and go Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But I do love a chocolate cereal.
Mm-hmm. If you're talking about cereal for the rest of your life, and again, this is where Cinnamon
Toast... It changes the question.
This is where Cinnamon Toast Crunch can come in, because it almost might be too cinnamony, right?
Yeah, it's very sweet.
I don't know if that's necessarily... Weirdly enough, if I could only have one for the rest of my life, because it's a flavor I enjoy, but it's also like not overwhelming at any point. And this is gonna make me sound super old.
You want Raisin Bran?
Raisin Bran's not bad, man.
Stop it!
I love Raisin Bran.
I like raisins.
I love it. I love Raisin Bran.
Raisin Bran is not what I... Try the Cinnamon Life. Get yourself some Cinnamon Life next time you go to the grocery store. They're not a sponsor, and I wish they were.
I'm sure. Yeah, and again, like, I'm not saying it's not good. I've just never had it.
Try that sometime.
It very well might be. I love Raisin Bran, man. It's good. It's really good. But also, you know what? They're just like... Raisins are just not as accessible as they should be, because
I don't really like raisins in milk that much.
Yeah,
I'm pro raisin.
Raisins.
Oatmeal raisin cookie, absolutely.
Raisins are just good.
You know what I love? I love carrot raisin salad. Big fan.
I also, though, and maybe this is because like I'm not a big milk fan in general, so like obviously there's enough milk in like my cereal to like, because you don't want to just dry cereal.
Yeah.
But like I'm not like getting big scoops where, you know, there's a ton of milk in the spoon, you know, as well. So like my milk consumption during a bowl of cereal is still relatively low.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only time I really consume, I even can consume milk, because I just do not like the taste of milk.
Yeah, I'm not
unless
a milk
it's
drinker.
With cereal.
Same.
But
I'm an almond milk guy.
But
for
like
the most part.
I'm not the person who like drinks the rest of the milk out of the bowl. No. Just dump it out. Once cereal's gone, I'm good.
Wait, you're dumping the milk?
Yeah, I do not. I cannot drink like just
even
milk.
What if it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk?
Some, I don't know, man. Milk's nasty. Except when it's got cereal in that spoon with it, and
what
it's
at
a moderate amount.
What if the spoon is full of milk and there's one cereal piece?
Now,
what do you do?
I mean, you just kind of scoop up that one cereal piece, but you know, like you're getting a lot of milk, just tilt it to the side a little bit, drain it. Now, I will say
if it is the
only milk I've ever like been able to drink and like enjoy is not the right word, but tolerate is strawberry milk. Strawberry milk is solid. It's
strawberry fine. Milk is good. Chocolate milk is great.
I don't, but even for whatever reason, I just never, like, even as a kid.
Chocolate milk's great.
I acknowledge that chocolate milk is a good beverage because, like, 99% of the world loves it. I was just that weird kid who just, like, growing up did not like chocolate milk for some reason.
You're telling me that you are a weird kid?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, at least you grew out of it. Let's take a break.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We're a buffet today.
Yes, that's a great call.
And we are absolutely shoving it down your throat.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The topic I'm going to bring up here for like the next 2 minutes is really going to prove itself because it's legitimately the thing I thought we might start the show with today after my stupid joke about Russell Wilson and counting MVP votes too early and all that stuff.
I thought it was a good joke.
It was an okay joke. It was an okay
it was
joke.
Topical, and it plays well in Kansas City because it involves top Patrick Mahomes, and obviously there's the MVP vote going on.
And yeah, that you're right. It's topical and it involved Patrick Mahomes and, of course, the person that he voted for president, who is, of course. Did my microphone cut out? What happened? Got it? Patrick Mahomes voted. I don't know what's happening. That's crazy.
This is a bit, and I legit freaked out the first time it happened. I was like, oh no, what's happening? my heart like skipped a beat for a second. I was like, oh God, did Josh's mic just break?
No, I was just saying that I'm pretty sure that Patrick Mahomes voted. And I just think that is that why? Can we not? That time was not a joke.
That was was a different sound.
Did you hear that long beeping
that
sound?
That was a different noise than I'm used
Holy
to
Holy smokes. I think Chiefs PR just came in here and tried to actually unplug my microphone. I was joking. I don't know who we voted for. What was that? That was the longest that's ever happened.
That was weird.
That was not a good sound.
They never meet your heroes. Never find out who your heroes voted for. That's all I care
that's
about.
That's probably a good call.
Meet them all you want. Just don't get to really know them.
Don't meet. Feel free to meet your heroes. Just don't really get to know them is a pretty good. That's a pretty good rule of thumb, I think. What I was gonna say, which now we have like 30 seconds to talk about. I literally wrote down the phrase Carolina complacency because I was gonna talk about Chiefs Panthers, and I don't know. There's a chance we'll talk about it after we talk to Tucker. Maybe we'll talk to Tucker about it a little bit next segment, but. We went through such a weird space against the Jets where it was like they stink, but the whole week was kind of talking about like being focused even though they stink. The Panthers are like kind of okay, but we just know so little about them, and not like, you know, cognitively. Like, I know a few things about the Panthers, but I don't really care about the Panthers. They don't move the needle as an opponent. And so this whole week of like Chiefs Panthers talk is going to just kind of be under this weird veil of like, yeah, they faced him 4 years ago. Eric Berry had a pick six against Cam Newton. And now it's Teddy Bridgewater and Christian McCaffrey, and the Chiefs are probably going to win. But it's just all very strange. It's a very weird place to be talking about the game. We'll talk about it a little bit and do some power rankings next.